This is Health Yeah, your weekly update on what's going on in the health, wellness, and medical world with Monica Robbins.
Fasting has been around for centuries. It's voluntarily withholding food for any reason, from medical to spiritual. Well, today we're talking about fasting to improve your health. Chances are you've heard about it or someone you know has tried fasting, but is it safe?
Research shows that there are some health benefits.
And which type of fasting is best for you? What are some of the dangers you need to know about before making this lifestyle change?
Intermittent fasting for 2 days or eating sort of less than 8 hours was associated with a much higher risk of cardiovascular death 8 years later.
We'll explore this and much more in this week's edition of Prescription for Life. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Monica Robbins. Fasting is trendy right now, making waves in the wellness world. But fasting is not for everyone. And a new study says it can be potentially harmful to your heart health. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, you may have heard about or tried what's called intermittent fasting, the way to lose weight by paying attention to when you eat, not what you eat. Our Dallas station breaks it down on how it works.
Chances are you've heard of it, maybe even tried it, intermittent fasting.
And this is a period of time that you're choosing not to eat and a period of time that you're choosing to eat. This is not starving. There's a huge difference between intermittent fasting and starvation.
Benefits are touted all over the internet. Weight loss, cellular repair, even cancer prevention. But how are all these outcomes linked to fasting?
Intermittent fasting is designed so that you can tap into your next source of energy, which is your stored fat.
Let's back up. Remember, food is fuel. It offers nutrients that regulate our metabolism and provides building blocks for our body's structures. When we eat, once food is broken down and converted, our body uses carbohydrates first, then whatever's stored as fat.
So you're fasting just enough to break into that fat burning zone and use that fat as fuel.
Reduction in visceral fat, that's the fat in your abdominal cavity and around your organs, will decrease your risk for chronic diseases.
We also have found that people push their fast too far for themselves, and when they go to break their fast, they can't control their meal. We just don't want you to overeat on that first meal, because then your insulin is going to go up.
Lori and Karen suggest starting with a 12-hour fast, then increasing by an hour at a time.
But once you break the fast, it has to be a very mindful meal of high fat, good protein, and low carbohydrate so that you're getting the results that you want.
They say for their program, you don't have to fast every day. You can drink a cup of coffee while fasting, and you can skip meals if you're not hungry.
It shouldn't feel like a torture. You should be looking forward to that first meal and moving on with your day.
Now that you know what it is it right for you? Megan Bragg goes through the facts with this verified checklist.
It's called intermittent fasting, or IF, and for years it's been a diet craze and talked about on social media. It's where you fast for a certain window of time every day. But is it actually good for you, and does it work? Let's get the facts.
Our source is dietitian Alexis Supan with the Cleveland Clinic, family physician Dr. Carla Robinson, and a study in the National Library of Medicine. Fasting continues to grow as a popular diet practice, and it's a pretty simple concept. According to a study in the National Library, this diet involves taking periodic breaks from eating for up to 24 hours at a time.
It's really hard to stick to such a restricted eating plan for a long period of time, but research shows that there are some health benefits.
Those benefits can include lowering blood sugar, decreased inflammation, and weight loss. But with everything, there's no magic diet that will make you fit overnight. Supan says it's more about what foods you eat and when you eat them, and making sure not to overindulge.
You still need a well-balanced diet. You still need to kind of be mindful of the foods you're choosing. But it can be a really beneficial rule for people when they're considering lifestyle changes.
Dr. Robinson says if you're going to start any diet, be sure to talk to your doctor to see if it's right for you. The study showed intermittent fasting to be as effective as a standard calorie restrictive diet, but subjects using either of those methods lost more weight than other people who ate whatever they wanted. With your verified fact check, I'm Megan Bragg.
Now to our expert to explain your options and how to do it safely if you, along with your doctor, decide fasting is for you. Joining me now is Cleveland Clinic registered dietitian Julia Zampano. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we are talking about not eating, fasting. Is that a good idea?
I'm a big proponent of fasting. I actually always have been since the preliminary studies came out. I thought it was fascinating what it does to your body and how simple it is. I think it's not for everybody, and there are certain types of fasting that are better than others for certain people. But I do think that fasting is something that we can use definitely to benefit our health.
Who should look into maybe considering doing fasting?
So, you know, if you're looking to lose some weight, I think fasting can help. If you're looking to lower blood sugar, that pre-diabetic range, metabolic syndrome really can help with that. Cardiovascular disease risk can go down with fasting. If you're looking to reduce your risk of Alzheimer's or dementia, it's been shown to help with that too. And even in some cases have been shown to help with certain cancers.
So when there's so many different types of fasting, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are just so overwhelmed mm-hmm. when they think about it. So the simplest to the most complex,
sure.
How do you start? How do you find one?
So I think understanding what your options are first and understanding like what the details of those are, and then really considering what's best for you. I'd say if you're new to fasting, you really should start very simple and very slow because your body needs to get adjusted to fasting. You can't just jump right into a 3-day fast and not expect to have any side effects or, you know, negative outcomes, right? So there's the most basic type of fasting that I recommend to my patients most often would be time restricted eating. That's when you restrict your eating to an 8 to 10 hour window and you fast without any food for a 14 to 16 hour window. It usually occurs after dinner and then you fast until the next day. And your breakfast may be a little later. You may skip until lunch, just depending on how the timing goes. I think that's the easiest, most simple way to start. It gets your body used to not having food. It's a minimal amount of time where you're not getting into that deep symptom, those deep symptoms of like lightheadedness, maybe nausea, maybe, you know, feeling weak or fatigued or, you know, really kind of pushing past some of those symptoms. Because by the time those symptoms occur, it's time to eat. You know, so most of the time that's where I start. Now you can push the bar a little bit more and go a little bit longer of a fast. So you can push to 16 or 18 hours, 24. And then there's, you know, a full day fast where you do a full 24 hour fast. There's alternate day fasting. So you fast one day, you eat the next, you fast the next day and you're fasting for 24 hours. There's also a 5-2 method where 5 days of the week you eat normally and then 2 days of the week you eat a low calorie meal, 500 calorie. That alternate day fasting can also be a full fast or it can be fasting for like a 500 calories. So a very restricted diet to a low amount of calorie intake every other day. So there's a lot of options and then there's tweaks to some of those different types of fastings too. So it just, you know, meeting with a registered dietitian who's very knowledgeable in fasting can really help pinpoint what the best type is for you. But I'd say if you're new to it, the time-restricted eating is the best way to start.
Is there anyone who shouldn't do a fast?
Certainly, yes. If you have uncontrolled diabetes, suffer from hypoglycemia, fasting is not for you. If you're underweight or malnourished, fasting is not for you. Children should not be fasting. Pregnant women or nursing should not be fasting. And if you have history of an eating disorder or are battling currently an eating disorder, fasting is not something that you should be doing either.
How do you know when fasting becomes unhealthy?
So, you know, there's a fine line. So if you're feeling like you're getting negative health outcomes from fasting, but you continue to do so, that's when you may need to reevaluate. You know, if you're starting to have, some people may develop low blood sugar, low blood pressure, more of weakness or shakiness, they may lose too much weight. So some of those side effects you need to be aware of, or maybe you're not meeting your nutrient needs. That's another big one. Because fasting, depending on which one you choose, choose is restricting your food. And if you're not consuming enough really high quality, good food during your hours of eating, then you could be nutritionally deficient, especially if you continue to do it over time.
Do you find that one of the risks that while people are fasting in that interim, while they are allowed to eat, mm-hmm. are they not eating enough calories?
That could be a problem. You could not be eating enough or eating enough of the right kind of calories. That's another thing. It's just, what kind of food are you eating? Are you eating high quality foods? I usually recommend breaking a fast with a high protein and fat meal. So avoiding carbohydrates, because what we do when we fast is we deplete our body's glycogen stores, and we go into, instead of burning carbohydrates for energies, we're kicking into ketosis. Ketosis is when you're burning your body's own fat for energy. And that's actually where a lot of that benefit comes from, is we're depleting that sugar need for our body to use for energy. We're then using our body's own fat stores. So that's ketosis.
So when you break the fast, you want to have the bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Or Greek yogurt, eggs would be great. And bacon's fine. Or, you know, an egg with avocado or a green salad with extra virgin olive oil and some grilled salmon. So, you know, there's a lot of good, healthy fats and proteins that you could have. Even if you just do like a handful of nuts, if you're kind of quickly breaking fast, you start with a handful of nuts while you're preparing your meal.
There's been a ton of research, in some other countries. We were talking earlier about using fasting to combat disease. Mm-hmm. Does that actually work?
Yeah, so it can, especially if you're doing it, you know, with a healthcare provider that's guiding you appropriately. But we know that fasting can reduce your level of insulin. It can help with decreasing cell growth, especially tumorous cells. It can help regenerate good cells. It helps kill off bad cells or bad mitochondria. That's called autophagy. It helps reduce blood triglycerides, which are a risk factor for heart disease. And it can help decrease your bad cholesterol, increase your good cholesterol, helps with blood pressure. As I said, it can help with just regulating blood sugars, that insulin resistance. It can help with that too. And we know all of those things are risk factors or precursors to disease.
So if you're going to do the eat one day or fast one day and maybe eat 500 calories the next day, where do fermented foods come in? Because, you know, we're also talking about the gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. Do fermented foods have any impact on fasting?
They do. We're getting into more studies that understand that more. That's a little bit more of called a fasting mimicking diet, where you do decrease your intake on those so-called fasting days. You limit your caloric intake to, let's say, 500. But the key is that we're eating really good quality food there that are going to feed your gut microbiome. Well, what feeds that? Prebiotic foods, which are pretty much fibers. So grain, like small amounts of really good quality whole grains, but avocados and fruits and vegetables and, you know, fermented foods too, like sauerkraut and kimchi and miso, you know, any of those foods can, again, feed that gut microbiome, kefir. So those are just natural prebiotic and probiotic foods. So the prebiotics are what feed the good bacteria, and the probiotics also kind of help grow. They're the sustenance for that good bacteria.
So best advice to somebody who wants to start getting into fasting?
Definitely start with the time-restricted eating. It's an easy way to get acclimated to fasting, and then you can start to play around after you've recognized how your body reacts to fasting, how you feel, if you have any positive health outcomes, if you have anything negative come up, you know, maybe working with a healthcare provider to understand why some of those symptoms are coming up, because I do think electrolytes play an important role when you're fasting, because your body electrolytes can be depleted. And oftentimes that's why we have some of those negative symptoms. So replenishing electrolytes can prolong some of that fasted period without symptoms.
Can you drink water while you're fasting?
Absolutely. Yes, you should be drinking water.
So that doesn't count. It's just the food.
It's just the food. In some cases, you can drink some black coffee or unsweetened tea. Those are not going to break a fast.
That's great insight, Julia. Thank you.
Thank you.
A new study suggests intermittent fasting could lead to a higher risk of cardiovascular death. Experts from the American Heart Association found that people who restricted food consumption to less than 8 hours per day had a 91% higher risk of dying from cardiovascular disease. That's compared to those eating within the usual 12 to 16 hour time frame each day. Now, some cardiologists have issues with this study.
So the idea here was to look and see if intermittent fasting affects your health kind of in the long term. So what they did is they took people and asked them whether or not they intermittently fasted for 2 days based on recall, based on what they remember eating, and then looked kind of 8 years later and see if they had an increased risk of death. Now, this is what's called an association study, not a causation, meaning you can't prove causality because it's not a randomized trial. It's just people's behavior. Now, they could have been eating less because they were working more. Mm-hmm. They could have been eating less because they were drinking more. There could have been many reasons why they might have been eating less. But essentially what it showed is that intermittent fasting for 2 days or eating sort of less than 8 hours was associated with a much higher risk of cardiovascular death 8 years later. Wow. Second, there's no correction for what you ate. So if I ate pizza for 8 hours, as opposed to eating salads for 16 hours, they wouldn't correct for that. Huh. And then the third is what I mentioned, which maybe you're working all night, you're in a night shift, and therefore that's why you can only eat for 8 hours. So there's a lot of confounding associated with this.
Experts say it's a little too early to make specific recommendations based on this research alone. But remember, talk with your health provider. And if you're doing this for a medical reason, consider seeing a nutritionist as well before making any changes to your eating. That'll do it for this week's edition of Prescription for Life. We'll be back next week with another dose. Until then, I'm Monica Robbins, wishing you and yours good health.
Thank you so much for tuning into Health Yeah. Please find me on Twitter and Instagram at Monica Robbins. Like and follow my Facebook page, Monica Robbins WKYC. Find video podcasts at Monica Robbins channel on YouTube. And please subscribe. Wishing you great health and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update. And find more on everything you heard here on WKYC.com and on the WKYC app.